Hello and welcome to episode number 49 of the WP Cafe Show with me, Keith Devon.
And with me, Mark Wilkinson. Thank you very much for joining us, everybody. Episode 49, one away from the big 5-0. All right. Exciting stuff. Yeah, what have we got today, anyway?
A couple of just topics I thought I'd throw, just stuff I've seen online that I thought would be interesting.
Yep.
One was a Reddit comment and thread and discussion about who is WordPress for. So I thought, well, we won't go through the whole Reddit conversation, but I just thought we could kind of pose that question to ourselves and talk to that a little bit. And then the other, I just was going to mention the WordPress developer blog, which I think is turning into a pretty useful looking resource. And then we had a couple of questions from some listeners stroke viewers that I thought we could tackle as well.
Great stuff.
Including the future of Gutenberg and tools to build blocks with. Just to tease Excellent. Those questions. Yeah.
Sounds like some good topics. As always, everyone, if you are watching along on YouTube Live, or actually, in fact, if you're watching along on Twitter, I believe we're on Twitter as well, let us know who you are, where you are. It'd be nice to see who's watching. And if you have any WordPress questions, this is the episode for you. You can ask your questions and we can try and answer as many as we can, or certainly get a discussion going about them, which would also be good. How's your week been anyway? Just aside?
It's been okay. I mean, work-wise, feeling quite excited about our job board product.
Yep.
I've been working away at that, trying to tackle some interesting CSS issues around specificity. It's like when you're dropping in, and this must happen to like form plugins and stuff and all kinds of different plugins, but when you're essentially like dropping in markup to a site, you need it to style it a certain way. How do you do that? Because it's going to be inheriting some theme styles, which are sometimes horrific, and you don't know the specificity that you're going to have to override, but you want to keep things flexible so that you can theme things to customers' needs and stuff. So
yeah,
some challenging stuff around that, but I think I came up with a good solution using custom properties and important. And I hate using important in CSS. It was one of the things that I was taught never to do. But I think for this particular use case, it's what I need to use. There's a couple of other ways I could have gone about things, but they all have their drawbacks. So that's the one I chose.
Still overwritable, isn't it, with the way you've done it, which is nice. So you can make some customizations and things, which is good. It's an interesting challenge, actually.
Yep.
My week work-wise has been very much in the same, but looking at the other side of it, so making sure that the back-end stuff for that plugin works and we can override different parts for different customers and things like that, which is going well. And there's nothing like actually throwing it on someone's site. So we've kind of built this and then, right, let's just throw it on client X's site that we've got, you know, local site that we've got installed and see if it works. And then you're like, oh, that's interesting. Oh, I didn't realize it'd do that. And oh, why is it doing that? And then you work out those things, you fix those things, then you throw it on someone else's site and then you get another bunch of bugs that you had needed to fix and stuff. So it really does help when you're doing that. That's been a good thing. And then I've been working with Easy Digital Downloads. I won't say a massive flaw in our product because it kind of works, but a thing that Easy Digital Downloads was not doing that we thought it was doing and may have changed the way in which we sort of like authenticate a user when a job gets posted. And that was to do with the way that it sets licenses to expire. You can only set licenses to expire in one place. So you basically can either choose them to be lifetime licenses, yearly licenses, or monthly licenses. And you can't choose that on a per variation of a product, which I thought was interesting. We've got some workarounds for that now, and it seems to be working locally. And also messing around with some product bundles, which work but don't work for us. So I think we'll probably go without them, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's a shame.
But yeah, it was interesting. It was just working away around that and how's it going to work and getting all the licensing set up for the new product. So yeah, an interesting week for sure. So what are we going to tackle first?
Who's WordPress for? Mark, who's WordPress for these days?
Well, I still think the answer for that is actually a wide variety of people.
Mm.
But I think the powers that be if that's the right terminology. Maybe that's not the right terminology. The leaders of the project, essentially, were defining where we're going. I think they have a very specific people that it's for, and I'm not sure that essentially aligns with everyone else's. So essentially, the Reddit comment was sort of saying, like, we don't really know who WordPress is for anymore. Is it for, like, end users to be able to basically build their own websites? Because kind of that's what the block editor and full site editing is providing, with customization options for everything, padding and margin and spacing and typography and all sorts of stuff like that. They can basically build and design their own sites. Whereas the reality of that is it's actually very, very hard to do and end up with a good website. Yeah. So it's kind of not really for them because it's too complicated, but it is for them because that's why those tools are there. So I'm not really sure. I think ultimately WordPress is for anyone that wants it to use it, and you can still customize it and make it work for your use case, essentially. Whether that is saying, I'm not using full site editing, I'm not using block editor, I'm just carrying on with what I used to do, which I know a lot of people do, then that's fine. Or whether it's, I'm going to use this bit of the block editor or the full site editing because it's actually really useful to me, but the rest of it I'm not going to use. I think that's where we are at the moment. Whether that's a good thing or not, that it hasn't got a defined space, I think that's open for discussion. I'm not sure. What about your thoughts?
I just had a thought. And the thought is, so there's this democratized publishing.
Yes.
Kind of mantra, mission statement, whatever you want to call it. I would argue that WordPress had already done that to an extent. It was already an open source platform that you could publish, you could build websites on top of, pre-Gutenberg, right? So has Gutenberg moved that forward in any way? And I'd say the way that you could argue that it has moved that forward is in terms of design capabilities. So is it democratizing web design, not actually publishing? Because the publishing thing's already kind of done. And in which case, who's that for? Because I think, you know, your experiences with full site editing and mine to some extent have been immensely frustrating and challenging. And so if that stuff's hard for us, it's not for your average Joe on the street to install WordPress on their own hosting, you know, provider. So all those little extra steps that you need to get into this ecosystem anyway, rather than something like Wix or Squarespace, you know, you've already got those little extra steps to go through to get something set up, to get a WordPress site up and running. And then you've got full site editing and just the kind of mess that is the WordPress admin to deal with. So it's not for those people, is it? Not yet. Anyway,
I feel like it's not for those people, but then again, there's a learning curve to everything. You know what I mean? I mean, and you talk about hosting your own site there. You know, essentially these days, you can sign up for a host and they pretty much do all that. They just give you a username and password for the admin. So it is a step further.
It's a step further and a whole set of research and comparison, which host, blah, 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 blah. Whereas go to Squarespace and you've got a site set up, you choose a template. You're limited by that template. It keeps it looking nice, and you can get a web page up and running.
Yeah, the people that need more than that. Yeah, to build a Squarespace page, I've not built one, but surely they are the same things you have to do in Squarespace or Wix that you would have to do to build a page in WordPress. You know, you have to know how to add a heading, you have to know how to format it, you have to know how to do this, and you won't know that when you start.
Yeah, but I think I showed you the Squarespace interface recently, like
briefly,
but like the dashboard, like the equivalent of the dashboard, it is so clean and minimal. It's like, it's amazing. It's like a white page. You've got an example of like your homepage or whatever to one side, and then you've got, I don't know, like pages, marketing, email, like design. I can't remember exactly what they are, but there's like 10 things down the left hand side. It's just so simple and straightforward.
Yeah, it was clear.
I'm not saying that Squarespace is a better platform, but for those people at the like, I just want a website. I just think that like, I want a website quickly. You know, WordPress is just, it's not that anymore. And the more controls we add, like this Gutenberg project is making things more complicated, not less complicated.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
We're constantly, there's more and more and more being added, like more design controls. We've got shadows, I think, now of something like that. Which is fine. But like, you just got more and more of this stuff that's put on the user. Like you need a UI for every one of these features. There's multiple places we can edit styles now. There's multiple ways we can kind of reuse blocks and create templates and template parts. And it's complicated.
Yeah, it's confusing, I think. I think one thing like I was thinking the other day, if you asked me like, okay, where do you go? If you wanted to make a change to every button block on your site, well, how would you do it?
Yeah.
And I don't know. Like, I don't know where that would be. Like, yeah, I mean, one way is go and edit all the buttons on every page. You could do it that way. You could do it. Can you do it in global styles? I don't know. Does that apply to every button? Then does it over? It's just complicated.
Okay. So let's say it's not for the web complete novice, like super, super simple. I just need the most basic web page. Say it's not for them.
Okay.
And we would recommend Wix or Squarespace. I'm not saying I would, but maybe. Okay, so where does WordPress come into its own on that spectrum from super simple web page, web presence to enterprise level, fully functional corporate website? Or I don't know, like where does WordPress shine on that spectrum? I'd say the top end.
I was going to say that. I found myself wanting to say that and then thought, yeah, that's strange.
It does, though, because it's so powerful and flexible. And at that end of the market, being able to customize brand, get the functionality that fits with your business systems, all that kind of stuff becomes very, very valuable. Like the publishing workflows and, you know, the way you can customize those and enhance those. Like I'd say there's stuff at that end of the market that isn't ideal with WordPress as well, but
that's not necessarily the new block editor WordPress. That's because WordPress is open source and the way in which it's written and built. You've always been able to customize all aspects of WordPress to an extent.
Yep.
Because of the way in which it's built as an open source product. You can see all the code.
But I would also say that at that end of the market, you're typically dealing with people who understand the importance of design and branding and everything and good copywriting. So the people that are building those pages tend to be more qualified.
Yeah, fair enough.
Like you're working with marketers, for example, or designers who will cast their eye over something. So I'd say like the downsides of the block editor and full set editing and all this control that we're pushing onto users get, you know, slightly minimized by the type of person that's actually going to be creating the content. Potentially.
We've had a few questions. Let's just have a look through some of these questions. Just say hi to Tony and Sam, Phil, Kieran, Peter and Craig. Thank you for joining us all. Phil mentioned a question. I don't know if it's a question, more of a comment, but it says, I personally don't think there are enough controls. Yeah, but I guess we've now started down this road. We might as well be an even better page builder. I wonder what more controls you want then. That's interesting. There's quite a few already there. That's an interesting one. But yeah, if you want more, you want more. There's nothing wrong with that. That's good. Kieran says, I would say that WordPress is too difficult to use now for someone who has no previous experience. The learning curve is incredibly steep and assumes a lot of knowledge. I would completely agree with you there, Kieran. I think I would say WordPress is too difficult to use now for someone who has no previous experience. I'd say it was probably always quite difficult, actually, though, for people with no experience to actually get a website up and running without any help. I don't think that's any easier now. And it probably should be, I would think, because I think that's what the goal is. Maybe not. Peter says, what I really want to know is who is using WordPress now? What is the breakdown of the 40% of the web? Is it devs, agencies, DIY, bloggers? I've asked for the numbers, but apparently that's not available. Yeah, it's a great question, is that?
It'd be difficult to get.
Difficult to know, I guess. Yeah.
I also saw, I think the other day, there was a conference on called CloudFest, I think. I just saw it was popped up a few times on my Twitter feed. I think like Yoast was there. There's a few other people from WordPress there. And I'm pretty sure it was from that conference. Someone said that that 40% figure is completely out.
Right.
Like, was it higher or lower? Lower, way lower.
Lower.
They'd calculated it a different way. And I can't remember exactly what, but like, you know, it's like 20% or something. It was quite significantly lower, which is interesting.
I think that's an independent figure. I don't think that's WordPress's figure, is it? That's some organization.
It's something like based on the top X million domains or something. You know, it's not an absolute figure that you can rely on. It's not the whole of the internet. So I thought that was interesting.
Something that I've come across, so we do a lot of integrations of our product with websites, and out of the currently, you know, we've got 200 odd people on this platform, we've only ever come across one website which uses a block editor.
Yeah.
And all of those customers using WordPress, there's only one customer that was using the block editor. And that person had removed all the core blocks and just rolled all their own. So essentially they were just using it as a sort of custom page builder in a way. Which I found very, very interesting. I still find it interesting today. I come across the next site when a customer comes on, have a look at the site. It's done the standard WordPress way, if there is such a thing.
Yeah. Craig just jumped in there and said, I saw that too and want to say it was 12%. That's actually the figure I had in my head, Craig. So I think we can probably agree that that's what it was, 12% market share. Kind of interesting. It makes sense for people to big up that figure as much as they can. Certain people.
Yeah. Hendrik says here, the block editor seems huge, but it really isn't. From an install standpoint, Elementary is at around 35% share. Classic and blocks are around 25%. Yeah, kind of back to what I was just saying, really. I don't think many people are using it, to be fair. I'm sure that'll increase over time. It really will increase over time, but so it's fairly small, I think, at the moment.
Just while we're still, before we move on to another topic, so we're still on the Who's WordPress for, in our work in like the recruitment industry, I'd say the middle ground of that industry is where there is a lot of competition for us. So there's a lot of website vendors that operate in the 100 to say £300 a month, because they tend to charge monthly in that sector for websites. I call that the kind of middle range of the market. Do you think WordPress is a good fit for them, Mark?
Depends who you, for the end client or for the businesses that are using WordPress to do it.
For the end client.
Yeah, I do. I think it works well for them, what they want to do. Done right, of course. And I think that's for an agency to have a process and a product that they deliver that is right for the client.
Okay. Yeah.
I do think that you can have a good product that works and does what you want it to do and so forth.
Yeah.
But I do think that's harder to deliver at the moment.
Yeah, I'm slightly less confident of that. In our experience, it's really hard to compete using WordPress against the, what's it called, website as a service kind of providers, I think. Just to do like custom work. Yeah, like you say, if you'd really dialed in the process, and had, you know, some templates that you use, and you can spin up the site really, really quickly and just theme it really, really quickly, and then it could work. But yeah, it's harder that price
agencies are doing. Obviously, that's the way in which they do it. We've spoken to agencies who wanted to use our services, and they have very specific processes and ways of doing things, and you'd have to work like that and use their theme and use their suite of plugins that they use. That's why they do it like that, because it fits that model that makes it work for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, who's WordPress for? I'm not sure any closer, to be fair, but still, we're going to chat about it.
Yeah, a little bit. Okay.
hopefully it can be for you if you make it right and make it work.
I think it can still be for everyone. I just worry about the actual end, especially from a developer's point of view. I think as a developer, you can find your place still using the tools that you want to use, whether it's a block editor and full set editing or not. You can certainly leverage those to your advantage. Mm-hmm. If you decide to go that route, you can leverage the tools that you already use, ACF, repeater fields, or whatever. So I think as a developer, you can work at lots and lots of levels. As an end user, though, I'd worry about like a complete kind of tech stroke web novice getting their hands on the block editor and the full set editor. And I think it is for them. I think it's been built for them, but I actually think it's a terrible product for them. That's my opinion.
For developers, you mean?
No, for the end user.
For the end user, right? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's been built for that web novice.
That's what I think. Yeah.
I don't think it's good.
No,
I think it's a long way off from being good.
Yeah, those people. But it could be better, and it will get better, I'm sure.
Yes, that's true. Or it could get way more complicated because we want to add more and more options and features and design controls. Who knows? Watch this space.
Maybe that's what people want. Phil, that's what Phil wants.
It is what people want, but when they get it, is it going to be what they needed? That's the question.
Proof's in the pudding, I guess, isn't it? With the people using it.
It is. We will find out, won't we? We will find out.
Watch this space.
So the other, as always, get your questions in, folks, if you have any, because we're just going to talk about whatever we want to talk about. I'd rather talk about what you want to talk about. next up, it was just a mention for the WordPress developer blog, which people may or may not have seen yet. I put a link as a... I can't remember. Let me see if I've got a link to show. Don't think I do. You can do
that's just developer.wordpress.org, and then there's
exactly.
News section.
It's,
you can find
it's good, there. And there's some good people behind it. Justin Tadlock is one of the kind of lead people. He is a superb writer, and just generally great bloke. And Michael Burridge as well, from the UK.
Yep.
Yeah, met Michael before. He's heavily involved in that too, and they're trying to get more developers involved and writing good content. But one that you shared with me the other day, Mark, was just a guide on spacing in WordPress, which is a bugbear of mine. You know, how do we use block gap spacer blocks spacing variations? There's all kinds of like funky stuff going on. How do we turn those controls on and off? You know, all this kind of stuff. So a really, really detailed guide from Justin. He's a great writer. So I would definitely check that out. I've been complaining for a while that there isn't kind of a go-to place to kind of keep up as a developer. Like it's all spread around, you know, GitHub comments and issues, Slack channels, the Make blog, the blah, blah, blah. I think this developer blog is an attempt to solve that pain point and be a place where you can just check in regularly there if you've got an RSS reader or whatever. I don't know if they've got a newsletter feature. I'll check out.
They do. I don't know where it is because I saw it yesterday and I signed up for it, and then I got that article that you've just mentioned, even though I'd seen it on the post. I got that delivered to my inbox, and actually quite nicely, it delivers the whole article in your email. So you can actually just read it in your email client, like on your phone, which is, I don't know, that's quite nice. Some might like it, some might not. I do believe you can control that, though, with the settings for the subscription, but I might be wrong. So there is somewhere there is a subscribe. Subscribe to the developer blog. It's in the footer down there, bottom, but you can probably see it. And you can stick your email list and subscribe. Weirdly, only 279 people have subscribed. I thought way more than that. But,
that's not too bad.
So hopefully just get those latest articles coming in. I agree. I think Justin's articles are a step above anything else I've read about the block editor and full site editing. They just make it seem so much easier to understand what's happening. What worries me at the moment is that there is no source of truth for this information. It seems to be a bit all over the place, and I'd like the dots to be crossed. And no, that's the wrong word. Yeah. You know what I mean? Everything to be pointing in the same direction.
Don't cross your dots, folks.
No. What's that saying?
Cross your T's and dot your I's.
Dot your I's, something like that. Maybe that's the wrong saying, anyway. But you get the drift. I'd like that to be most, you know, like you say, like I want to know about block spacing. Where do I go? Is it this blog post? Because it's really good, but it's not a documentation piece. So I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's stay up to date and current. And...
Well, is that the go-to thing that stays up to date, or is it actually that back over on the whatever it's called, the block handbook? I'm not sure.
Yeah,
that's got to be important.
It's interesting that they've gone down this route rather than solve the core problems. Yeah,
that's what I find interesting. Like if you need to write a definitive guide blog post about block spacing, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but why not just write it in the documentation? Because that's where you should go. I don't know. Just think.
Yeah.
Peter
says, trying to drink from the fire hose of Slack, Make, and GitHub can be overwhelming. Curated content is welcome. Completely agree. Yeah, I think it is good. There's an interesting one on the 10th of March. There's a post on that blog just called What's New for Developers. And it's pretty detailed. So it's obviously 6.2 coming out. And it just looks through a whole bunch of the interesting stuff from a development point of view. I mean, I definitely check it out. I'm going to try to stay on top of that blog. I think that's the place where we should be checking in regularly these days.
Well, I am subscribed, so I'll get them in my inbox.
Well, I'm not. So how did you subscribe the footer, did you say?
If you go to developer.wordpress.org/news and then write the footer, it says subscribe to the developer blog. So you'll be the 280th person to subscribe to the developer blog. Well done.
Yeah. If I type my email address and write, it'd be even better.
That would help. Well, the number of times we've had people sign up for our product and put a typo in their email address, you wouldn't believe. Yeah. And then they don't get an email, and then world of pain. Anyway.
World of pain, agreed. We've got a question from Sam.
We've got a question. Sam, hi, Sam.
Do you think your future is with WordPress? We've reviewed alternatives, but access to the WP third-party plugin repository makes this a difficult decision. Is our future with WordPress? We talk about this loads, and we've probably talked about it too much on this podcast previously. Short term, yes. Long term, probably. I think would be my answer.
Yeah, like sat here now. I can't see another platform that would give us what WordPress gives us right now. And what I mean by that is there's other platforms out there that do so many other things and do them maybe better, but I don't know about them and I don't know how to do them in that platform. So that makes it really difficult to jump to another thing.
Yeah.
Unless there is a golden opportunity that makes doing that the obvious thing to do. You know, like you've got a client that wants to pay for the research and development, which is unlikely. Yeah. So I think our future will be in WordPress. But it might not be building websites in WordPress. I'm becoming more and more thinking that might not be where what we actually do is build websites as our main stream of the business. Put that way, never say never. You might build the odd one. But...
Part of the factor for me is our age, because you know we're both in our 40s now, and I don't think I have the energy and inclination to start again. Whereas I think maybe if I was in my 20s or early 30s, I could think, actually, I've got, well, I probably should have quite a long career. Like, we're probably going to be retiring at 75 or whatever, so I should have a 35-year career ahead of me. So maybe we should invest in something. But like, what would it be? You make a good point. Like, what would it be? But my point was that, I don't really feel inclined to start again. So I think we're going to have to be forcibly pushed off this ship and forced to swim. I don't think we're going to go willingly. Yeah. Hope that answers your question, Sam.
But it's a good question, definitely. Yeah, any more questions, get them in. We'll try and answer them in the coming minutes. Have we anything else to go through on our topic list? I've lost the topic list.
No, there wasn't anything else to go through, so we could probably wrap up unless someone sneaks in a last minute question, which we'll take. But just while you're writing that in the comments, just want to say thanks for joining us again. Please, just all we ask for to support the show is a like on YouTube would be super. If you're watching on Twitter, a retweet or a comment or something would be amazing. if you really want to catch more of these shows in the future, you should subscribe. So either do that on YouTube, subscribe and get notified, or you can catch us on your podcast player of choice. I personally am a big podcast listener, so I like to listen to stuff like this while I'm out and about, driving around, doing the dishes, whatever. So, yeah.
Do you not
no more questions, so let's wrap it up. What's that? What did you say?
Do you not have a dishwasher?
Yeah, it's me. I'm the dishwasher.
You're the dishwasher, all right. So.
Yeah.
No, we have a dishwasher. I don't do the dishes, really.
We do, but we never use it.
No. Why not?
I quite like doing the dishes. I find doing the dishes quite therapeutic. Yeah. I find by the time you've rinsed everything, loaded the dishwasher, unloaded the dishwasher, you may as well have just done the dishes.
Mm.
Could be wrong.
Folks thought they were coming to learn about WordPress development and learned about dishwashing.
The content you've always been wanting.
Anyway, that's all from us. On that note, thank you for joining us. We'll be here same time, same place next week. We'll see you then.
See you soon. Bye.